Hello, it's Owen Shehan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
The one thing about Salah, he's got a very strong sense of his own status and his own ability. It's not arrogance. He knows how good he is.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Okay, delighted to be joined today on a special NFL show by Keane Fatty in studio, not even in Cork.
The important person in the studio right now. I don't know why you're introducing me first.
Well, I'm probably the least important, second least. And delighted to say that we've got two current NFL players, two current New York Jets, running back Isaiah Davis and All-Pro Quincy Williams. Quincy, how are you? Isaiah, how are you? Welcome to Dublin.
Doing good. Blessed. Thank you.
You guys have been here for a couple of days. It hasn't rained or been miserable in any way. So this is basically the best Dublin can offer.
Yeah, we got some beautiful weather.
Great sun. Needed the sun.
You are here in Ireland because you're promoting a brand new NFL Girls Flag League, which aims to increase access to the sport for young girls. It's launching ahead of International Women's Day, and it'll be the first league of its kind in Ireland, bringing together 80 girls aged 12 to 15 from 8 schools at the Sports Campus Ireland. This is a very interesting idea. We were just talking off air that I was thinking American football might be the one sport, Quincy, that doesn't have a huge imprint for the female side of things, and it is growing so much almost in every other sport. And you were saying off air that that is being replicated in American football, but it's not as visible quite yet.
Yeah, so it's not visible. They have like smaller leagues and things like that. It's not on like a public size scale, so bringing more awareness to that also. But starting with like the fundamentals of football, which you can think about that without worrying about taking a big hit, and that's what flag football brings. Also minimum equipment. You don't really need that, just need cleats, flags, jerseys.
Yeah, it's interesting because like there's a maybe a rugby equivalent called tag rugby that people play in this part of the year, and it really took off a few years ago because of how accessible it is, because it can be women and men and so on, and it really is just the sort of the basics of sport without the physicality. It is a growing game. Have you noticed much of it? Is it, you were actually at the event in London, I think, last year.
Yeah.
Is it something that you see taking off, I suppose, in especially maybe outside of America where people aren't growing up with football as their primary game?
So I'm very excited about it, number one, just because I also got the message last year that the flag is actually going to the Olympics. So that took it like a whole nother thought process of me, because we already have girls flag football in America. Then all of a sudden I come to London last year and we're talking about girls flag football again. And I hear that and I'm just like, wow, like what more can we do? What more can we bring awareness to it? So now we're here in Ireland. So the first time in Ireland. So I'm here for work, but I'm also here, you know, see what's Ireland about, though.
Just to be clear, there's no one here who can catch Tyreek Hill in flag football either. So please don't send him to the Olympics. Send us like an NCAA somewhere
so
at this stage.
Maybe we out here scouting in. Maybe
I'm pretty sure we won't be able to catch the NCAA guys either, but it'll just be less embarrassing.
I don't know about that guaranteed gold medal for the US, whether that's fair or not. But Isaiah, your first year last year in the Jets. This time last year, you were at the combine. So when we're following NFL media at the moment, it's all about these guys running their 40s and so on. How did you find the combine experience?
Man, it was a blessing. You know, something as a kid I watched and you know prayed about, hoped I got to do one day. And you know, it was crazy actually being there, seeing all the guys from all over the country, just having the opportunity to live out my dream. But a busy week, you're doing stuff every day, meeting with teams, meeting with coaches, and you know you're prepping, you know, for months to run for 4 seconds or to jump 2 times. So a lot goes into it, but that's why it's so special.
And how much pressure is it? Because it must just feel like such a, you know, you've played for your whole life to get to this point. You've played in college. You've played actual football games to put yourself on display. Mm-hmm. And then it's coming down for scouts looking to see how fast you can run in 40 seconds or how high you can jump. It is a lot of pressure to just get that right the one time you do it.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure, but I think with pressure, you got to put in work. And once you put in a certain amount of work, then the pressure starts to fall off and you just come back to your truth. And Yeah,
that's okay. What the Jets scout said when they were picking you. It was the work rate that really stood out. And like for you, I guess, with the combine, that's a goal that you can spend months and months working on and building up to it. Mm-hmm. But do you feel then like in your rookie season and going to training camp, does it kind of set you back a bit because you've got to do all that preparation in the off season and then go straight into a training camp and try to earn a roster spot and move into the regular season? How did you maintain yourself for that long year?
I mean, they tell everybody your rookie season is the longest year of your life.
Yeah.
So just trying to keep the main thing, you know, focus on your job, you know, coming in every day. I got a job I got to take care of, and that's my number one priority. And how can I help this team win? But I mean, it's a lot of steps to be taken. You know, you learn a lot as a rookie, how things work, what happens, and it was a little stressful. You learn the playbook at the same time, you learn the teammates, but it's fun. It's a blessing. It's something that we all asked for as little kids to and play the NFL. And
you're still fresh enough to run in that touchdown in week 7 against the Dolphins, that 17-yard run. That's got to be a great feeling. But to me, like when you watch that back, like, did you remember what it was like at the time, or is it like just blackout and then it's like, oh, wow, I did that? I mean, your first one, like.
Yeah, I mean, it all happened so fast. Like, in the league, everything just happened so fast. Everybody's playing at a faster speed. So I just remember I was running to the left and I put my foot in the ground and hit the small hole, and then Lazard making a block, like the 5-yard line, got behind him. And when I scored, just kind of felt rewarding. Like all, like my mentor said, all the extra work, the extra reps, everything you did extra, like paid off for that moment right there. And it's kind of like made me sit back and really realize like what I was doing and where I was at. So definitely a blessing.
Quincy, is he scoring that if you're on the other side of the field?
No, he folded.
Yeah.
He just seen it before. And I'm going to do the uppercut after and had a whole sideline.
Oh, I need to ask you about that, by the way. I was looking into this. Yeah. You know the way like wide receivers are divas and running backs have all their celebrations? This must be the only linebacker in NFL history who has a signature celebration.
Yes. Yeah. I'm trying to get it in Madden.
Yeah. Is it too trademarked and too exclusive to do with our camera here?
Ooh, man, I'll do it in the world. What you mean?
Yeah, but you've got to sack someone first, so Mick.
Out the middle.
I'm okay.
We're not insured for that.
All right. Here we go. So after I make a big play, everybody hype up. I hold my hand in the air so they know everybody knows it's coming.
I'm going to start letting the same thing.
Everybody, and after I see my boys hold their hand up, I come with the finisher. If it's fourth down, I hold it in the air because it's fourth down. You feel me? If it's not, hurry up and get back on the ball.
Yeah.
But the reason why I can do that is because my thought process is to hit people so hard that it takes time for them to get up, so I got time to do my celebration.
Okay. Well, you mentioned making plays, and like for you, your career, you can probably give a lot of advice to guys coming through the league because you had to really earn your spot. And like I heard that story about the Jaguars cutting you on your birthday, which is like the most depressing thing you'll ever hear. But you came in, and was it 2023? You were starting beforehand, but 2023 was just different for you, right? What was the catalyst for that?
Man, it was really like a lock-in period. So like he said, we actually came from like the same division, though. So that was kind of So that was kind of crazy coming from a small school. Didn't make the combine. Not going to make a long story short. Everybody already heard it. But at Jacksonville, just getting to the NFL, you feel like you've made it. You feel like you're like, I can chill now. Third round, I'm starting. And I got complacent. And that's what really happened. Fell off my diet. Started realizing I got a whole lot more free time, started partying and stuff, and my game on the field fell off. And one of the players, Miles Jack, came and talked to me about it. It was just like, hey, bro, you got to be able to do both of them. That's the only way you're going to be able to stay in this league. So my birthday, it was kind of crazy. Leaving the facility, got cut from the Jag. There was actually new coaching staff came in, Urban Meyer and them. That was that era. Weird era, but you know.
Tell us.
Yeah, man. Really wasn't no bad blood. It was more like, hey, man, we came in with new staff, brought in our guys, bro. And we're actually going to send you. We're going to let you go. More than likely, you're going to probably go to the Jets with your brother. So it was kind of like a, wait, what? But then like a, all right, bet.
You better learn from the Miles Jack, right?
Yeah, Miles Jack.
like that's few better in the league. Like what a player he was and the experience he had. Like
getting advice from him, you take it, right? I thought he was gonna play both sides of the ball.
UCLA,
in the league.
Right?
Yeah, he played at UCLA, linebacker and running back. So up for the Heisman and all that. So I thought he was gonna play running back and linebacker in the league. So I came in, got like that. I gotta listen to.
But you mentioned your brother there. Like I was reading up on your upbringing, and listening to you talk about how you guys broke up, and or I think you mentioned wrestling was the way a lot of things were.
Yeah.
Now we have a lot of people watching from home right now, and they're like, "That guy's pretty big. He must have won every wrestling match he's ever had."
No.
But your brother is like,
it's the
famously the greatest athlete in the NFL, right?
It's the technique, though, man.
So you still won.
You feel me? I'ma always win every time. When it comes to boxing, I promise y'all. But when it comes to boxing, he won most than I won. But when it comes to wrestling, I win every single time because he don't like submission holds. So I always put him in a submission hold and I'd be like, tap, tap. So, yeah.
So when he's seen you come up to New York, he's probably like, oh, God. I just see him at Christmas.
Well, no, but there's a great bond there because I know you told a story about when he was drafted in the first round and Quinnen was like a superstar draft. Everyone knew he was going top 10. I know it probably didn't feel that way for you guys on the other side of it. But then when you got drafted, like he called you before the team even called you.
Yeah, so the day he got drafted was actually in Nashville together. I was celebrating him. It was all about Quinnen. That was my main focus. I told everybody I wasn't answering my phone. I know I ain't going day one. I'm good. Like I'm celebrating my brother. So he gets picked. We finna get ready to leave. My agent was like, hey, you gotta actually stay. I mean, just chill. You gonna get taken tomorrow. And I was just like, all right, if I get taken tomorrow, it's all good. If not, is what it is. Because no one knew who I was. Like, there was the talk around town, like, who is Quincy Williams? Day two come, my brother called me. He was like, bro, you gonna go to the Jaguars? And I was like, what? And then next thing you know, I was like, hold on, I gotta call you back. And then I got the call.
And you purposely hid that you guys are brothers for a while, too, didn't you?
Yeah. So, like, the biggest thing in our family is, like no handouts. It's kind of like a mindset thing. So we both came from two different backgrounds. The way you do what you do is, like, the path that you made for yourself. So we tell our stories three different ways. My brother went to a bigger school, also cared about school. Me, didn't care about academics, ended up wanting to go to college, but they said you gotta have academics. So on the back end, I had to take all elective classes, and I was a late qualifier. So every time we tell our stories, we'd be like, all right, you can be like Quinnen, do your work, go to Alabama, get a big contract, or you can be like Quincy, you're gonna go to the NFL, but you're gonna work a whole lot harder. So it come back to education for real. So that's the story that we tell. Like, education is very important. Mom was a school teacher also, so we're gonna preach that.
And there's not many mothers in Alabama, I'm guessing, who can pull their sons off of a football field.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, oh, you read everything.
It's a great story.
She pulled me off the field in the game, bro, because I had bad grades. Literally pulled me. I was finna get ready to take a handoff. She walked out there, grabbed me straight out the field.
Yeah, you should have been blocking for Isaiah. He got nowhere near you.
No one touched my mom when she came on the field either. I don't think the ref blew the whistle.
So she was actually on the field? Like,
we was on the field. She came and took me straight off the field.
I ain't never seen that.
Didn't have the grades.
Can I ask you guys, NFL rosters are huge. And obviously you add in practice squad and everything like that. How much interaction do the offense and defense have? Would you guys like ever hang out, or how much work do you do together, say in camp and so on?
Not say we're always like competing. Like we're always, whether we're eating like lunch together or walking the hall together in locker room chilling together. I feel like we go on the football field and we're always putting situations where I'm looking across Quincy. Whatever it is, so I feel like we always put in a position to compete.
Yeah, you can take inspiration from a leader on the team, whether no matter what side of the ball they're on.
Yeah, just because he's on defense, I mean, I can't learn from him or how he works and things he does. So now I'm looking for everybody to learn. So
Isaiah, if we ask you this 3 weeks into training camp, are you gonna say you're still good friends with him or?
Nah, I'm just bad blood.
3 weeks into training camp, we even got the pads on by now.
Yeah. A whole lot happened, yeah.
Can I ask you about that? Because, like, you're a rookie last year. You're coming in and you're coming off this FCS win, this phenomenal year. You're the big star. And now, look, you can say it's small school thing, FCS, whatever. You were still, like, the big star and the main guy in the offense. And then you're drafted to a team. You're obviously delighted to be going to the Jets. You're delighted to be getting an opportunity in the NFL. But you're also going into a team that has a young, really highly touted running back in Breece Hall. How does your mindset kind of adjust to that when you're coming in with a guy, you're competing with him, but he's obviously a great teammate as well and someone you can learn from? Did that take a lot of adjustment?
Yeah, I mean, it takes adjustment. you know, I kind of feel like I was wired a certain way. Like, it doesn't matter, like, who's in the room. Like, it's always, like, competitiveness mindset. Like, I feel like there's times where we can go on the field and we can compete and also have fun at the same time. And I feel like that's what we did as a running back group. But, like, it happened to Breece in the room, you know, and Braylon, like, the best thing for me, guys I can learn from. You know, Braylon's a guy who works his tail off all the time, and that's how I can learn his work ethic. And Breece is the guy who does it right. So, you know, just taking things from them and trying to perfect my game.
I mentioned it there. What are your memories from that FCS championship? Come on, there's got to be something. Like, you had 100 yards, touchdown.
I said the best memory was at the first championship, like being on the podium and just seeing the whole field be blue. Like, people, the whole stands is blue, the whole field was blue. And it's like, man, like, we found our first one for the school, for us. And we went our freshman year, we lost to Sam Houston with like 16 seconds left. And then we finally got back like a year later, 2 years later, and then got it done.
Hello, it's Owen Chehan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves in questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
So the, like, for those, like, we have a hardcore NFL audience, we have a casual football audience, guys who are interested in hearing more about it. But to put into context, like, to make the NFL, you've got to be 0.1% in high school, and then you've got to be the 0.1% of the college players in college to get to the NFL. So when you were in high school, and, like, famously Derrick Henry has the most ridiculous highlights in college, and he ran the ball about 1,000 times in one season, what was, like, your craziest game in high school? There's got to be a day where you're just turning up and guys are, like, jumping at your knees and you're just picking them up and throwing them away and that kind of thing. Like,
yeah, so we played a team called Kirkwood, like Jeremy Macklin. He's the coach for that team. So we played them twice my junior and senior year. And it was like the quarterfinal games, like to go to the semis to state. And I played them 2 years in a row in the same game. And I had, in both games combined, I was like 600 and like over 50 yards and 12 touchdowns. Like,
wait, in two games?
Yeah. Playing the same team in the same game a year later. So that's probably one.
So the equivalent, that's probably like scoring 22 points in a Gaelic football game or something like that over here for our Irish crowd. They'll understand that. It's something outrageous. Damn. But Quincy, I don't, not to be mean to you, I don't really care about your high school football career, man, because you know why? Because like, what I'm going to ask you
about.
It was
like God mode in there.
Did you play both sides?
I did play both sides.
Yeah.
I played running back and linebacker.
That's the furthering the Bo Jackson comparison?
There you go. Bo Jackson, high jump, offense and defense. I didn't play baseball though.
We need to explain this for our listeners at home. Yeah. So Quincy, like, while he was focused on football, just had this part-time thing where he kind of threw his hat on, didn't really try that much in it, and just equaled the record of Bo Jackson, who is widely regarded as one of the greatest athletes of all time. Mick, I'm pretty sure that's right.
Say he's pretty much up there, yeah.
Still can't jump it. For real. So the crazy thing is, I jumped it, beat it, but when I turned around celebrating, the bar fell.
Oh, no.
And if the bar falls, wow, it's over with. And it was the state championship, and you can't go again until the next year. It just so happened I was a senior, so there was no more next year.
Wait, have you done it in practice then? Back then, did you do it in practice?
No, not after. Because it doesn't matter anymore, because it did. Yeah. It was the state championship. You're supposed to, like, broke it in. I literally turned around.
How long after? A couple of seconds?
Bar dropped.
Oh, no.
Like, I got out the... So, you have the bar had to stay up there. When you get up the mat, cross, like, the little line or whatever. Yeah.
Please tell me...
As I got off the mat, turned around, drop.
Please tell me it was, like, that Nick Young shot from years ago when he turns around to the camera and the ball just bounces off the rim behind him. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I didn't turn around.
I watched him walk into the crowd.
I watched it the whole time because he was, like, jumping like this and I was just like...
Oh, no.
But beyond
and then
that,
it stopped and then failed.
You were also a swimmer at Alabama, which to me is just mental. How are you swimming in Alabama?
I was young, and then they told me that I wasn't supposed to be a swimmer. And then it's actually crazy. It became a hustle when I was younger. So it was like, meet me in the pool. What you trying to do? Money good. Let's go. So that's how it became about. And then I just kept on doing it. Then this guy called me from Team USA on Junior Olympic, and he was just like, hey, you want to come swim for my club? And I was just like, I ain't doing nothing else during the summertime. I already bet. And then we started traveling, and I was like, hey, I can actually do this. But I couldn't go to college for it because I wanted to play football with my brothers and them because it's something that they weren't swimmers. So I wanted the camaraderie with my brothers, like hang out with my brothers and stuff. So I picked football over swimming.
You probably accidentally broke a Michael Phelps record in high school or something as well. Like, one of the greatest swimmers ever.
Michael Phelps, they was the Olympic size pools. It was like 50 meters. I was only 25, so it probably wouldn't count. It wouldn't count.
Yeah. It'd be a lot less punishing on your body, I would guess, but probably a lot more training would have to go into
if you'd gone down a lot of weight. Yeah. It was crazy.
Less time to celebrate, too, because you're not hitting anyone and knocking them out. So the uppercut probably wouldn't work.
Yeah, it wouldn't work there.
You mentioned playing both sides, and you said you even maybe saw yourself doing it in the NFL. Cornerback?
No, that wasn't me.
No, it's a
Miles Jack. I never said that. Trust me, it was Miles Jack that did that. Me, I was always when I got my first hit in later on in college. Yeah. That's when I decided I only want to play defense. I'm gonna be
honest. Oh, right, okay.
I'm one of the ones that got hit and went to defense and got mad and wanted to hit everybody else the same way. I wasn't one of the ones that got hit and was like, I'm going to go play basketball.
Well, look, receiver and corner is very different anyway than linebacker and running back, but you've been in the NFL a couple of years. Is the Travis Hunter thing possible, do you think? That he can go and, you know, legitimately play both sides in the NFL?
It's possible.
Yeah.
For real, it's possible.
Like regular downs both sides?
It's possible.
Yeah.
Anything is possible. Mm.
Would you lose out on a lot of coaching, though? Are you kind of like if you're with one group or the other?
No, it makes him better, though, because he's getting the routes, combination down pack. He's getting the scheme from the offense down pack, the time and all that.
He's learning the position he's going to guard or the position he's going to go against.
It's like mirror, basically.
It could be one of those things that just like completely captivates people if he does go into deep into camp and they're still talking about playing.
I'm excited to see what he's talking about, but it's a D lineman too that was in the East-West Shrine game. He played DN, he played tight end for Ole Miss. He played tight end, he played fullback, and he played DN. He got an intercept. He scored a touchdown, caught a touchdown, and caught an interception in the East-West Shrine game.
Wow.
And ain't nobody talking about it.
No.
That's what I'm saying. And he played DN and tight end.
Sauce Gardner definitely thinks he can play wide receiver too, right?
Sauce feel like he can play quarterback. Sauce wants to play quarterback.
Speaking of changing positions, this is actually changing sport. Are you guys familiar with Louis Riez-Ahmet at all? He's a rugby player from this side of the world, and he's kind of gone
Chiefs.
Over.
Played at the Chiefs.
Yeah, he was at the Chiefs last year.
Yeah, we also had another guy that came from over here and went there, was in played for the Lions. He didn't really make it out. But the other guy, the Chiefs, he's good.
Yeah, what do you feel about like the chances of that actually working out for him? Like, obviously, he's doing it because it's a passion and a dream. So if he makes it, he makes it. But like the challenges of that, because you guys are going to the NFL after 15 years, I'm guessing, of playing football, and that's tough enough. He's going after playing rugby and doesn't necessarily have a perfect fit as a position-wise. He's working in those training camps, trying to earn his place on the roster. That's got to be like almost an impossible task, right?
He play running?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's different. I mean, he's come from rugby, but like, also, you got to think, like, he might have more skills than, like, people who don't play rugby or, like, things in that nature. So
the toughness.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's a different perspective of how you want to look at it. But, I mean, I feel like everything just takes time. You know, he might not have as much time to develop, but surrounded by the right people, I think anything's possible.
Is it true that, like, when you go in as a running back, basically the first thing is, like, can you block? Can you play special teams? Is that the way that works?
Yeah. I mean,
how'd you find that?
Play the quarterback, carry the ball. Yeah.
We've talked about running backs a lot on the show this year because between, obviously, the unbelievable season that Saquon had, between Derrick Henry obviously moving and not losing a step, and other really, really top displays all over the field, really, like Josh Jacobs, whoever, it feels as though we're hitting a turning point where the position was almost undervalued. You know, it went to a point where, okay, it was a big star position and maybe there was too much, maybe there was too much emphasis on running backs that needed a little bit of a correction, but it went too far the other way. And you've seen the difference that Saquon Barkley can make to a team like the Eagles. Do you feel as though when you're coming up and you're entering the NFL that the position is a little bit undervalued at the moment, that maybe that's changing?
I feel like it is changing. I feel like when you have guys like Saquon and Derek do what they did, I think, like, you can't say nothing else but give them respect. And I feel like it just helps position, help how it's looked. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, Quincy, have you hit Derrick Henry before?
Yeah, I folded him. My first year at the Jets.
Oh, man. It's got to be as bad as it sounds, right? There's no way it's like not as intimidating.
Oh, did it hurt?
No, as in just the idea of him running at you, like.
Nah, I catch him before he get to the line of scrimmage. We good.
No, that's because you're behind.
Before he fill up his speed, I need to meet him at the line of scrimmage.
That's because you're behind Quinnen, opening all those holes.
Perfect.
There you go.
I'm telling you, the lineman don't touch me. I just tell Quinnen every single time, listen, you can have all my food. Don't let him touch me. Don't let him touch me.
That's how you're thinking of the diet. All right, actually.
If I got to.
Master plan.
Don't let him touch me.
Who's your favorite player to hit or quarterback to sack?
My favorite sack?
Your favorite sack or your favorite player?
You know my favorite sack. Kyler Murray is my favorite sack.
Oh, I'll have to look it up. I'm guessing he was running around like Super Mario and you just chase him down.
Not at all. I caught him before he took off running.
I'm going to look this
exactly
up straight away.
What you think?
Kyler Murray shape all in the ground.
Roadrunner.
That was his injury that year. He was gone for a few months after that, I'm sure.
No. He got back up and threw a touchdown. He literally got up the next play and threw a touchdown.
Amazing. We're running out of time slightly. I just wanted to ask you, we were talking earlier on, a long time ago now, about the combine and the rookie season being the longest of your career. And I'm just interested in what all the 2B rookies are going through at the moment. They obviously get through the combine. You wait around for the draft. What is that process? We hear I get the call, or I'm meeting with teams, but I don't actually really know what the process is. Are you like meeting with NFL teams and kind of talking about yourself, or how does it work?
Yeah, so I know at like the combine, you meet with teams,
yeah,
and like they might hit you up for just the conversation,
yeah.
But like going to like draft day, you really don't know like the teams that you might think. Or heavy on you,
yeah.
Might not even be heavy on you.
And yeah. you were drafted in the fifth round, was it? And you were the third round?
Third.
So you're kind of, there is that sort of, maybe if you're a first rounder, you probably know if teams are interested in you, but going down that far, you're just hoping more so than anything. Yeah.
I mean, for me, like...
You went to the combine also, though. That's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll say for me, like, I got to the point, like, after we got to the fifth round, I started questioning, like, man, am I going to get drafted? And, like, it was crazy, like, I'm sitting up, like, tense the whole day, and like the one time I relax and like put my phone down, it rings, and boom, it's a jersey number. I'm like, oh man, answer it. Just start crying. Like
the video of that is
and
great.
This is literally though the way we get the impression of it is literally they call you, you hang up the phone, and then Roger Goodell walks out and says that you've been drafted. Yeah. It is. I know
it's a little behind.
I know it's a little behind.
Yeah.
It is only. It is straight away though, is it?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So they call you, boom, and then have a couple minute conversation, and then like about that time, that couple minutes go by, and you see the next pick of the draft, fifth round, 173. Just like, so.
I'd imagine that's about as good a feeling as you can have.
I mean, that's my dream was to be playing in the NFL.
It's also like the highlights after they say your name.
And oh, here we
what
go.
What they think about you and what everyone else have like graded you. That's the best part, because that's you going into the NFL with the mindset of like, all right, this is basically what they seen I did in college.
Yeah.
And how
much they might have missed maybe as well.
Well, didn't you famously not have any?
Mine was crazy though. So like I got drafted. The literally next thing was like, who? We don't have anything on him. And out of so however many people they drafted, it's like we didn't like think about him at all. So that kind of like I watched that video every single game my rookie year, every game, bro.
Murray State.
Just like until I get my All Pro stamp. Bro, I'm locked in. Even after now that I got it, I want another one now. I'm locked in.
So a lot of players, like, I can't think of the running back who it is, keeps a list of everyone who was drafted in front of him. So similar to you, like before a game, you're just...
Nah, for me, because it was only two people drafted in front of me and both of them out of the lead now. I mean, linebackers. But for me, I got like a hit list for real, but it's more like a, hey, I respect you hit list. And I'm going to ask you for your jersey after so I can hang it up like a... You know how, like, you hunt a deer?
No.
Yeah, I hunt deer.
Mount them.
Mount them. But I'm going to
I'm going to wear Kyler Murray's jersey up there.
So I asked him for that jersey. I thought, like, bro, I respect you. Can I get your jersey? You feel me?
Yeah.
It's
up
there.
Yeah. But you got to beat
them. What's the best one you've got?
I got to fold them.
What's the best jersey you've got?
Best jersey I got is probably the Josh Jacob one.
Ah, nice. You got a great year.
Hard runner.
Yeah. Always undervalued in Vegas.
only person that hit me, and then we literally fell sideways.
Like, I love that you didn't go backwards. Even yeah.
I never go backwards. Sideways.
Before we go, the one thing we haven't really talked about is the New York Jets, who you guys both play for and are over here representing. I don't know if you noticed, but the Jets have a huge fan base here. It's like a lot of my friends that watch NFL, and I'm like, why the Jets? You know, and it's like, obviously there's the New York thing, but I don't think the Giants have as big a footprint at all. It's the Jets.
Dolphins.
You know, Bears. A lot of Patriots, Dolphins, Steelers,
there's
obviously,
a Patriots fan
they're
next
playing
to
here, but a lot of Jets fans. Last year, and it was your rookie season, Isaiah, a lot of hopes. I'd imagine it was a great team to be drafted into with Aaron Rodgers on board, you know, as you said, playing behind Breece Hall. And there was a lot of expectation and it didn't quite work out. But I guess the same, obviously, Aaron's not going to be there. You obviously are going to have a new coach. But the same principles that made the offseason in 2024 very exciting are pretty much all still there for 2025. So should Jets fans be looking forward to 2025 with a renewed sense of optimism?
All right, I knew you were
going to
give me this one.
I thought he might too, actually.
We're very excited for the 2025 season. The most thing I'm excited for is to get there with a new whole coaching staff, excited about them.
Yeah.
The guys who come in, I received calls from them. They also reached out to people on the team also. The message is very clear, and we're all on the same page with the message. And like 53 people on that team that's stepping on the bus, and all of us riding with AG right now.
Yeah, and I was gonna say Aaron Glenn was obviously the Lions defensive coordinator.
Yep.
You happy with a defensive head coach coming in? You feel
very
like
excited about that, especially when the first thing he did was drop his resume to me. Straight
really?
Like, man, since I came to the Lions, this is what we did. Since I've been there. Since I went to this team, this is what we did since I've been there. You can't do nothing. You putting it in my face. You showing me. You ain't just telling me.
Yeah.
I like that way better.
So you guys have a long off season. It's funny because the NFL media never stops. We're talking about the combine. We're going to talk about free agency. We're going to talk about the draft. And it's straight into mini camps and so on. And it's literally not all go. But for you guys, there's a lot of thinking and there's a lot of getting ready. And there's a lot of like being ready to go into mini camp and then being ready to go into full camp and so on. What is the process like in a February, March? You get to come to Ireland and have a slightly okay weather a couple of days, but other than that, what kind of downtime you got?
How's your first off season?
It's going great, actually.
No school, no nothing, no school. Classes. Yeah.
It's like a real summer. Well, not summer, but a real spring for the first time.
Yeah, so I took a couple weeks off. Well, you get like three and a half months off. So I took a couple weeks off, went home, saw my family. Was just relaxing there, kind of just getting my mental and physical a break because of long season. I'm starting in January. And started training like 3 weeks ago, and just you got to train for until you report in March or in April. But yeah, I got a lot of free time, a lot of downtime. I mean, you can't work out all day, so
no.
Yeah, work out a couple hours a day, 5 days a week.
Do you do some like video yourself, or like what like how do you take what you experienced last year and what you got out of those 17 games and bring them, you know, get more out of it for next year? Is that, or is it just physically fit and then worry about it come summer?
I mean, I think it's just taking time to adjust like what you need to work on as a person. Okay. And kind of just being mindful and learning, and what you learn from what I learned from my first year, you know, taking like the nutrition and taking care of the body and the little things that people don't worry about, and it's trying to perfect those things. So like next season when I go in, you know, I can hit straight forward, have all my habits ready, and then take off with it.
Quincy, as your off-season habits changed at all? You were talking about how you kind of had a different attitude since you've been at the Jets than you probably had at the Jags.
Yeah, so for me, since I came to the Jets, the first thing I do is during our exit meetings, so at the end of the season, exit meeting, first thing, I don't want to hear nothing I did good. I want to hear everything I need to work on. Boom. So then I got from my coach, who coaches me, what I need to work on. The next thing I do is talk to my nutrition and talk to my strength and conditioning coach about my testing that I did during the season, my body weight during the season, how did I perform with my speeds during the seasons, and then what do they recommend that I do for next season, what supplements that I need to take during the season, what meals I need to do, because during the off season I lose more weight because I'm not working out. Mm-hmm. And if I ain't working out, I'm not eating for real, eating like little small meals and stuff. And then after that, I don't train until after the Super Bowl. So I just had a little girl also. So lately I've been spending time with her, hanging out with her.
That's amazing.
Chilling with family and stuff. And then I get right into training after the Super Bowl. After the Super Bowl, call a couple of my teammates, call a couple of my boys, call a couple of opponents, ask them what I need to work on during the season, because if I'm looking at myself, I'm going to be like, all right, I got to work on this. But everyone else is the person who's watching the game. Also, everyone else is the people who voting for me. Also, everyone else is the person, people who are actually going to be able to pay me. You feel me? So why not take constructive criticism from the people that's doing that? So that's my mind. That's what I changed about myself. I started doing that and taking into consideration what I need to work on. Right now is getting interceptions and being a leader.
Okay. Right. Well, looks like Isaiah already looks at you as a leader on the team as well. So more of that to come. And we'll look out for those interceptions when we're watching the Jets.
And the uppercut. And the uppercut. Don't get in the way, but like, that's the only thing.
You see over Keane's head there, the Jets have been good enough to give us an off-the-ball jersey, number one.
Mm-hmm.
A punter's number. It's all,
no, Sauce,
all we're good
no,
for
Sauce is one, isn't he?
Sauce is one.
Yeah, that's well, they saw me.
We're not thinking
number one is anybody
we're
now.
Not thinking his number.
Number one, they got D-lineman, that's number one.
Yeah.
Anybody can be number one.
No, but if it was us, it'd be a punter. That's
hey,
that's about it. Guys, it's been absolutely amazing having you in studio. Thank you so much for coming in. Best of luck in
Wait, one last thing, Mick. Where are you drafting Isaiah next year? Big fantasy team guy over here.
We'll have to see.
He's got big expectations. Aaron Glenn's going to copy the previous Lions room.
I mainly do play in a dynasty league, so I'm hoping nobody in the league listens to this, so I can kind of get in.
Yeah.
Peak Jets defense, I'm going to tell you now. Peak Jets defense, or you're going to be sorry.
There you go.
You heard it here.
A little bit of fancy advice to finish. We got.
I don't like a man who does an uppercut telling me I'm going to be sorry.
I'm on the defense. I can talk about the defense.
Isaiah Davis, Quincy Williams, thank you so much for coming in.